Welcome back to Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet. I'm Daniel B. Smith, a certified financial planner on the Family Wealth Management team at UBS Financial Services. I'm joined by my daughter, Alana J. Smith.
Hi, everyone.
We're located in Paramus, New Jersey, and I can be reached at daniel.b.smith@ubs.com.
This is a very special episode.
Because?
It's our 1 year anniversary of doing the pod.
The paper anniversary. I like paper.
Well, you had a paper route.
Oh, indeed I did.
Several.
Several, yes.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was good.
What'd you do?
This weekend, my oldest daughter is getting married in our backyard. Janine Sarah Smith.
Yes, she is. Right now, we're recording from my childhood bedroom, and right outside, there are many a tent being pitched.
Three
tents. Sue Smith has done a tremendous amount of gardening and twinkle lighting, and it looks beautiful out there.
It's really a shiny looking house.
Yeah, we're ready to party.
We are.
So this is our 1 year anniversary of doing the podcast. We release monthly episodes if you're just joining us. So we have released 12, and here we are back in September. How do you feel?
That year went quick.
Yeah, it did.
The listeners should know that it took probably 3 years for you to convince me to do a podcast.
It did, which is an investment worth making.
Yes, it is.
Why was that? Were you nervous about it?
I think the biggest trepidation was just sounding kind of goofy, trying to be perfect, but then I understand there's this thing called editing.
A beautiful thing called editing.
Yes. So now I know how pundits sound so good on TV. Everybody's not perfect.
I know. It's all a facade. I think you're doing great.
Thank you.
What's been the best part?
I would say the best part by far is that I get to work with you.
Yeah.
That's really the best part.
I know. I've learned so many stories about your life.
They keep coming out, don't they? And I think the second part is all the guests have been very willing to come on, share what their interests are. And then the third thing is there's been a lot of good positive feedback from the clients I work with and their friends and family. That's been a nice outreach. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've loved the feedback too. And the range of guests have been so fun. I never dreamt we would be talking to, you know, an electrician on a finance podcast, but we find a way. We find a way to tie it back.
Yeah. Electricity costs money and you have to learn about electricity.
There are so many topics we could cover. And one of the things that we wanted to do to celebrate is introduce our new segment. Get ready.
Da, 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 da.
The new segment is called Ask Dan.
Wow.
Ask Dan is going to be a segment where we get questions from our listeners. That's you. We get people to write in and ask us their questions about financial planning. People are curious about financial planning and we want to hear from you.
The single best thing that I feel any person can do regarding their financial life is to do a financial plan.
Regardless of how much money, how old.
We start at the equator and we move forward.
Right.
So there's no judgments. There's no good or bad. It's just where we are and where we want to go.
Yeah. And we'll keep your question totally anonymous. So no question is too small. Feel free to ask whatever's on your mind and let's get the conversation going.
I'm ready.
Okay, so should we start with a batch?
A batch.
A batch of questions.
What's a batch? Is that like 3 questions or is it 20?
Oh, you don't get to know that. I'm in control here.
All right. Awaiting the batch.
Okay, this is a good one. It's nice and vulnerable. We love a vulnerable question.
Oh boy.
Hey, Dan, how can I tell the difference between being smart with money and just acting out of fear or scarcity? Any mindset tips for spending with more confidence?
Wow. I would say yes. When you're spending, there are needs and wants. And I think it's a good idea to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
So when people think about needs, are pretty simple. Shelter, clothing, food, transportation. Those are needs. Wants are, I want a bigger TV. I want to go on a vacation. I try to get people to focus on what's called purposeful spending.
Ooh, I like that.
Purposeful spending on the need side is just list what are the needs and those payments will be made. On the want side, there should be a saving component for the want. So if you want something, start saving as part of your budget for that want, if it's that meaningful to you. And where people get into trouble is they'll impulse buy with not a plan of how to pay that off when the credit card bill comes in.
Right, they're guessing.
So if you have $5,000 a month of disposable income and $3,000 is on needs, the other $2,000 can be on wants, mm-hmm. right? But it should be purposeful.
So you're saying that $2,000 can be allotted to maybe not getting the want that month, but saving toward it?
Correct. It's kind of like going on vacation. When I was a young man with a family and before I had a financial planner, it was always, okay, I get a week off in August, we're going somewhere. But I never thought about saving for the vacation. Mm-hmm. And then what would happen is I get back and then the bill would come in and then it was 12 months to pay off the vacation.
Oh,
all right. So yeah. It's better to save a little bit each month towards a vacation fund. Okay. It's a want. I want to go on vacation. I want to do this. Okay. So the way to get your plan smoothed out is just to save for the want.
Okay, that was a great answer. We're budgeting for our needs and our wants, two separate columns. Our next question says, I just got a big raise, but now I'm not sure what to do with the extra money. Pay off my student loans faster, invest more, finally take that trip I've been putting off.
Get rid of the debt.
Get rid of the debt. That's a Dan Smith staple.
Period, the end.
Period, the end. Next question.
Not even worth discussing. If you have debt, it's the albatross of your financial plan. Investing doesn't outperform the interest on debt. It's too much pressure. Pay off your debt.
All right. Okay. Related question. I have multiple credit cards with small balances. Should I pay them off one at a time or consolidate everything into a loan?
If you have 10 loans and the loans range in value from $100 to $300 to $500, so on and so forth up the ladder, paying off the smallest loan and getting rid of it is liberating. And then what you do is essentially a debt snowball. I learned this from the Dave Ramsey School of Financial Planning.
Okay, shout out to Dave.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I strongly believe in. A lot of people want to consolidate and they say, well, I can get a better interest rate or what have you. The philosophy is very simple. If you're paying a dollar on the $100 debt, the payments go up as the debts are bigger. Pay off the first debt and apply that dollar or whatever the payment is to the second debt and the minimum payments on the remaining debt and just go north. Lowest to highest. A lot of people like to attack highest to lowest, or they'll pick the highest interest rate. I can tell you that there's a lot of self-satisfaction when people eliminate a debt.
Right. Even just a confidence builder.
That's correct. And eventually that debt will be paid off and it accelerates quicker, lowest to highest.
That's great advice.
And I think it's mostly an emotional process.
You think there's a lot of shame involved?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
All right. This next question is about, well, you'll see. Dan, my partner and I just moved in together. Should we combine our finances or keep everything separate? What's the smartest for long-term planning?
I do not believe in combining things until there's a commitment to each other. You know, just one of my principles that, hey, if you're married, then I think it should be a joint venture. However, if you're moving in together and it's more on a trial basis, I think it should be income related. So if one person makes $100,000 a year, and the other person makes $25,000 a year, then that's the percentage that you pay towards the monthly expenses. So that would be rent, utilities, food.
Right, but you're not combining accounts.
Don't combine accounts, no.
And what if you have a couple who's like, we've been together for 15 years, we don't really want to get married. Do you treat that as a marriage?
I do treat that as a marriage. That's more of a long-term commitment. I'm not a big believer in mine, yours, ours. I believe if it's a commitment, it's ours. You know, there's a lot of things that contribute to a household running smoothly. It's not always about money. You know, it's a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not keeping score here. But when it comes to money, and I'm talking about basically a checking account. If it's operational money for the household, commingle that money.
There you go. What if someone comes in with way more debt than the other person?
I've had many meetings where young couples are married. One has a lot of debt and the other had none. Okay. If you're committed to the person, then that joint income should be hyper vigilant to paying off the debt because the joint venture is not going to succeed financially unless that's done. So we attack the debt.
I love that. Great. Yeah. It's a joint venture.
Yeah, it is a joint venture. So just rip the Band-Aid off and get rid of the debt.
Yeah.
Right. Many people in the audience are going to have different opinions with this. But from a planning perspective, and that's the lens I look through from a planning perspective, you're just in quicksand if you're in debt. And just so you know, when I do financial planning, I like both people being there.
Right. You said this. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, well, I take care of the finances. The voice has to be heard, or at least the ears have to be open. I want them both there because invariably, the person who is not involved in the finances does have an opinion with things.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be heard.
Yeah, I bet also going to the meeting is so eye-opening. And if they didn't come in with an opinion, they'll leave with one. And so that's healthy.
Yeah. Of course it's healthy. No, you got to be a part of it.
Right. Okay, this is a good one. We talked about this a little bit on our episode with Dominic Gliotta about college.
Right.
You know, so many people are wondering about college. This question says, Dan, how do I balance saving for my kids' college and saving for my own retirement? I feel like I'm shortchanging both.
I always start the meeting with, who's the most important person in the room?
Who is it?
It's the person I'm talking to.
It's you.
It's you. Y-O-U. It's the person in the mirror. Financial planning is this. It's having money in the bank. It's getting out of debt and contributing to your retirement plan at work or outside of work via an IRA or a Roth IRA. Education is further down the line.
Wait, go back to work. So work is like 401k.
401k, 403b, 457, whatever your savings plan is at work. If there's not one offered at work, then you can go the individual retirement account route. But you have to save for retirement.
Individual retirement account, if anyone's wondering what IRA stands for. Listen, we haven't said it.
Exactly.
Yes. So you have the work account and then personal, you have to save for retirement, bar none.
Bar none.
After you eliminate your debt.
I go back to the building blocks of the plan. If you're in a lot of debt, if you have a big mortgage, if you're saving for retirement, all these things are precursors before you start attacking the college education for your kids.
At what point do they shift from their retirement planning to college?
When their salary and cash flow permits it. Instead of doing a little bit in retirement plan, a little bit in the college savings plan, I would be vigilant with putting away money into the retirement plan. There's a lot of people that will think differently. I want to put my kids first and all that, but you got to take care of yourself first. And it's a difficult conversation, but if you get your building blocks in place, generally speaking, as you get older year by year, you're going to have the ability to make more money and to potentially save more money. If you're not committed to either, then you're losing.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, it's kind of like we'll get to a baseball analogy, but
yes.
If you're going to go up to the plate and swing for the fences every pitch, once in a while, you'll connect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You learn how to hit by first making contact with the ball, putting the ball in play. Then as you get more comfortable with your swing, you can start hitting for not only singles, but power, extra bases. Mm-hmm. So I would say making contact with the ball and putting it in play and hitting singles is tantamount to putting money into a bank account, paying off your debt, contributing to your retirement plan. Then as you start making more money, you get more experience, then you're going to have more money to play with. So then you start hitting doubles and triples, and those cash events can maybe jettison a college savings plan, one where you can start devoting more money to that area of your plan.
Nice. And then you're contributing to both.
Correct. Then you feel like you're succeeding on all levels rather than failing on all levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes patience. I have a little patience.
Great advice, Dan.
My audience of one loves me.
Hey, we got a lot of questions here.
Yes.
People want to know.
These are questions. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, Dan. I'm in my early 30s and just maxing out my Roth IRA and 401k. What's the next smart financial move after you've got the basics covered? You sort of touched on this if you have kids, but what if you don't?
This gets into the want category. Mm-hmm. Now, what are your next goals? I go over this a lot with clients that are in this circumstance, and it's a great circumstance to be in.
Yeah, are these the fun meetings?
These are fun meetings. I always press clients on what's the number of dollars in the bank that makes you comfy.
Wow. I know a lot of people who would say, I don't know that I'll ever feel comfy.
That may be, okay? But I can usually back into the number. So okay. Let's just say that you take home on an after-tax basis $5,000 a month.
Okay.
Over a 12-month period, that's $60,000.
That's good math.
If you were out of work for a year, you know you have $60,000 in the bank. So $60,000 is the number for that 12-month period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I say is this, if you're maxing out your retirement plan at work and you're maxing out your Roth IRA and you have 60 grand in the bank and you have excess cash on top of that to do something with, start another portfolio and have another train going.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It's usually an after-tax portfolio, traditional brokerage account, one that should be actively tax managed and is accessible to you as you might encounter certain goals down the road. So it could be a second home, it could be selling your house and moving into a bigger house, a dream vacation, retiring earlier. Retiring earlier is the biggest carrot that can be dangled in a financial plan.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, plans have people retiring at 65 because that's when Medicare comes into play.
Right.
So they know they're covered from a healthcare perspective. However, it's okay to retire at 55 as well.
Yeah, we can do better than 65.
Correct. So generally speaking, if you can show a client that, hey, by adding this third portfolio, that can accelerate your retirement age to an earlier date, that's empowerment.
Right.
Not forcing them to retire, just giving them some options. functionality.
And so you're talking about an account that will grow. You're not talking about a checking account that just sits there.
No, this is a, you know, based on your financial plan, you adhere to a risk tolerance. And if you want to shave 5 years off your retirement to age 60, how can I save and invest for that goal? And the plan will lead us down that path.
Wow. I love it. Do you have a fun example, maybe an aha moment of really opening this up for someone who is ready? You know, they followed your advice. They got rid of the debt. They're investing in their retirement. They're comfortable in the bank. What's next?
Yeah. And I think the aha moment is usually when there's a lot of stress related with their job. I'll run the plan. And before they come into the meeting, if I have my facts and figures together, I'll do a traditional plan retiring at 65. But having met with these people for a number of years, under most cases, they share with me the stress that they have.
Yeah.
So it could be they're battling a health issue or their job is just untenable. And I can say to them, listen, let's look at something today that maybe you hadn't considered. So I'll shave, say, 3 or 4 years off the retirement equation. Aha moment right there.
Yeah.
That's when they say, really?
Mm-hmm.
And what I invariably say is this. It's not you or me saying it. The plan says it.
Right. It's actually not an opinion. It's just a fact.
Yeah,
it's an option.
It's a factual presentation. The volatility of markets is factored into the plan via the software. And we can show them where, hey, you're making X amount of dollars. And if you retired in 2 years, you can bring home that plus 20% more in retirement.
Wow.
They say, really? Where is that coming from? Then we go through the cash flow, et cetera. But shaving years off retirement is usually, like I said, a carrot they like to see.
Yeah.
You know.
And without investing in financial planning, it's probably very difficult to do.
There are many bright people I meet with, extremely bright. Intuitively, they're doing things that are very conducive to good financial planning. What they have a difficult time seeing sometimes is the viability of the plan or believing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually takes really 3 or 4 meetings to get that driven home.
Yeah.
You can meet with a client for 10 years and they're saying to you, okay, I'm retiring this year. They want to meet about a month or two before that retirement. Are you sure? Are you sure?
Right.
Again, it's not my opinion. It's the plan's opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm here as an advocate of the financial planning results.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to wrap up those questions there. We've got some more for future episodes, but that was a fun intro to Ask Dan.
They were good questions.
Great questions. Yeah. Keep them coming. So if you would like to send us a question, if you have a question for Dan, you can email me at alana.smith@ubs.com. I'll spell it for you because this one here gave it a complicated spelling. All right. So you can email me your question at alana@smith.ubs.com. Can't wait to hear from you.
There you have it.
There you have it. Okay, so now that we've wrapped up Ask Dan and you're all asked out, do you want to give us a baseball analogy for the year of podcasting we just had?
Yeah, so it's been a season now.
Now it's been a season.
There we go. I got all kinds of analogies for baseball here.
We had away games. We've had a lot of home games. We've had some online games.
Had a lot of games. The most fun thing about baseball, when you look back at a season, it's the journey. And when you start a season, and we're just going to say it's the podcast season, I really had no idea what the first episode or game was going to be like. And I went into that with my eyes wide open.
Yes, I can agree. I was there.
Exactly. And after the episode, there's a lot of self-reflection and things that I would like to do better for the next episode. And it's really a way of building momentum. If you're looking for a perfection from the first minute of the first game or the first episode, it's unrealistic. And the only way you grow and learn and get better is by doing it. And it's, you know, repetitive behavior. How did it go? What can I do better? I reflect. I ask Alana what she thought. I ask people who listened what they thought. And it just builds. Hopefully you've seen some of the growth of the episodes, the questioning. I'm hopefully a little bit more calm, more at ease. You know, Alana's really kind of my coach here. So she's the coach of my team.
How the tables have turned.
They have turned. So she, you know, doesn't always sugarcoat it to me. She tells me like it is. And that's what I appreciate. And that motivates me to do better as things progress. I just love journeys. And I think that's why I like financial planning. By nature, I'm a little bit impatient.
Me too.
Yeah. But for some reason, the plan allows me to dig deeply into not only the numbers, but, you know, am I covered by the right insurance? Do I have my will and estate plan in place? Are my beneficiaries correct? You can really branch out into so many different areas. I feel that my role as your certified financial planner is more of a planning coach, where we have a game when we meet and we do the plan, and it really gets us into areas where we can see some successes and obviously tweak things that are maybe not as successful as they should be. And so it's been a great season. It was my rookie year.
Yeah. Yes. And also, just to reflect on what you're saying, it makes the wins feel better when the journey is longer or more in depth, or you appreciate the journey more.
Yeah. So you ask about aha moments all the time. And
I ask, you ask.
Yeah, I do. I do.
It's your favorite thing.
It is. As a coach, when I did coach, the best analogy I can give is this. When I coached the rec level, you know, you had a big compendium of talent. Some were lesser talented, some are, you know, more talented. But the common denominator is they all had a role on the team, and there's different roles in your financial plan. But the bottom line is, after a couple of practices, I could tell what the weaknesses were of the players individually and also of the team. Mm-hmm. So did they have trouble fielding a slow ground ball? Could they go back on a fly ball? Could they lay down a bunt? Did the team know how many outs there were? You know, the basics. There's a lot of basic information that we go through in a financial plan. Some of it may seem mundane, but once your mind and body are trained to go down a path with a financial plan or a sport, whatever you're pursuing, it becomes easier.
Yeah.
It becomes easier. So you don't have to think about, am I going to max out my 401k this year?
Right.
You don't have to think about, should I run as hard as I can to first base and not stop at the bag, but run through the bag and then turn in the foul territory and come back to the base, because I don't want to jerk towards second, because that could be deemed I'm trying to go. They could tag me and I'm out.
Yeah. You see what's worth it. And so you just do it.
Yes. Yeah. So just do the right thing.
Just do the right thing.
Yeah. That's what a plan is. Just do the right thing for yourself and be honest with yourself when you're doing it.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's been a great year. I can't wait for year two.
Yeah, we're going to try to avoid the sophomore slump.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. Only up and up and up from here. It's been such a cool adventure, and I learn more every time we do it too. And just the array of people we have in here who also aren't used to podcasting. It's like so exciting to see people get excited to talk about what they love. And then to see the two of you tie it together, how it intersects with finance, is just really cool.
And kudos to all of our guests this past year from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah.
We thank you all. And a little shout out to my daughter, Alana, here, who does all the stuff behind the scenes that you guys don't see and you all should appreciate.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
I love it. It's been really fun. Yeah. All right. On to season two. And thanks for listening. Again, if you have an Ask Dan question, email me at alanna.smith@ubs.com. Till next time. Love you.
Love you.
Presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.